may be seated. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for church here today? I know it's cold out there, and I know it's chilly, but how many of you know you got to leave the cold on the outside, right? We come into the house of God. We come ready to receive. We come ready to praise. We come, you know, ready to rejoice. We understand that, you know, difficult things can happen during the week and so on, but we put all that down. Right? We come on in and we give God our highest and our best. Are you ready for the word of God here today? Amen. Well, turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to Matthew chapter 25. And today I'm going to call this message Breakthrough to the Next Level. Breakthrough to the Next Level. How many of you are ready to go to the next level? Amen. Well, this past week, of course, I was not here last Sunday. My wife did a wonderful job. I was down in Pensacola, Florida. I drove down there, you know, by myself, and I was going down to be in a set of meetings with Reverend Randy Greer. And on my way down there, drove through an ice storm. That was fun. Praise the Lord. Got to Pensacola, had some beautiful weather to start, got in a car accident, but then got to church and had a wonderful time with the Lord all week long. Glory to God. Yep, I was sitting at a red light down in Pensacola, Florida, and all of a, just waiting for it to turn green. And all of a sudden, this young man who was head first into his cell phone crashed into me full speed. In the rear of my vehicle, and it was a real fun time, but God's good, supernaturally protected me. You know, the EMT showed up, and they said, oh, we got to take you to the hospital, They said, well, you know, I didn't want to do that, but they said, you need to, because these kind of accidents, you could have injuries that you're not even aware of, blah, blah, blah. So I took a ride down the street in a little ambulance, praise God. But glory to God, I got into that emergency room and they tried to pump me full of narcotics. I said, no thank you. Just give me some ibuprofen, that'll be you know, enough. And got out of the hospital just in time to get to the Reverend Greer meeting and got a chance to be blessed by the word of God and got a chance to hear from the Holy Ghost all week long. And the doctor in the emergency room, she told me, she said, you are going to feel like you got hit by a train. But I never did. And I'm very grateful for it. Very grateful for it. So praise the Lord. I was sore a little bit. Just felt like I had a good workout, you know, for maybe a day or so. And that was about it. And so God is good. His supernatural protection. And I'll tell you what, we're breaking through to the next level. Amen. Well, go with me over to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to get to verse 14 here in just a moment. Of course, before last week, I know my wife did a great job, but I was teaching on how to stand against demonic opposition. And we went over and we looked at Revelation 2:29. And it says this, Jesus said, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We need to be hearing what the Holy Ghost is emphasizing in these last days. We don't want pre-canned sermons. We want the oracles of God. And folks, that is our responsibility to contend for those things in church. We're not here to get a book report. We're here to hear from heaven. Amen. And then we were teaching on 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 1. And remember where it says in the Paul, you know, speaking to Timothy, of course, by the Holy Spirit, he said, the Spirit speaks urgently that in the latter days, the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And we taught on, you know, the two main reasons why Christians will fall away in the end days. Number one, seducing spirits, literally demonic personalities that will seek to persuade you out of a life of faithfulness with God. And we know this, that seducing spirits will work first and foremost in your thought life. In your thought life. If you can win over the thought life, praise God, you can win in this life, right? And then, of course, doctrines of devils. Literally, the Bible says that demons will try to get in and inspire doctrine even within the church. Literally, it will start with the truth of God and then twist it to the point where it will, you know, do harm or do damage or get Christians believing or emphasizing the wrong thing. And so we talked about that, and now we're going to go a little bit further. We're going to talk about how to break through to the next level. Glory to God. And we looked a couple weeks ago at the Laodicean church of Revelation chapter 3, which represents the end day church. And remember, Jesus said, because you are neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm, he said, I will spew you out of my mouth. And we saw that the end day church will get the extreme doctrine of prosperity. We'll start to, you know, hang all their faith on that. And of course, that's something that we got to watch out for. We also said that extreme grace is another doctrine of demons that is making its rounds through the church. This doctrine says that you don't need to repent anymore. You don't need to confess your sins before God anymore. How many of you know if you take repentance out of the church, you take the power of God out of the church? Listen, we need to have a heart of repentance before God. I'm telling you, it's one of the main keys to the next revival that's going to come into this world. Amen. Is when God's people start repenting from their sin and not going back to their sins. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so now we're going to talk about how to break through to the next level. And I'm going to just remove the suspense right now. We're going to be talking about stewardship. Stewardship. And when you hear the term stewardship, you think that I'm going to be giving you a financial sermon or financial advice. No, that's not the purpose of this message, though obviously that would be included. However, stewardship goes so far beyond just how we handle money and material possessions and so on. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 25. And today I do believe I will be starting a short series of messages on the significance of stewardship. And these are things that the Lord started dealing with me down in Florida. It wasn't the topic that Reverend Greer was preaching on. However, you know, the Spirit of God just started speaking to me and dealing, you know, not just in my life, but also for our church and the churches that I pastor, how significant stewardship really is and how much the modern day body of Christ is, you know, walking away from these principles. We can't do that because it's key to what God wants to do on this earth. Praise the Lord. And so let's go to Matthew 25. Jesus speaking here in verse 14. Now, I'm not going to read this entire passage. I'm just going to read this verse because we can get what we need out of it. And you remember this passage, he goes on to explain how he gives the 5 talents to one servant and 2 talents to another servant. But we're going to just look at verse 14. Jesus speaking, and he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." All right. Notice Jesus came to explain how heaven operates. You know, one of the main reasons for Jesus's ministry is that he's here, you know, he came here to teach us how heaven operates. Yeah. That when we operate in these principles, we can function like heaven functions. And when we operate the way heaven operates, heaven visits us, so to speak. The power of God is evident in our life and so on. And Jesus taught these parables to teach us how to govern on earth like heaven is governed, all right? And remember, Jesus, when he first started his, you know, his ministry, his first sermon that he ever preached was over there in Matthew chapter 4. And remember the first thing that Jesus started to preach when he came out of Galilee? It says that he said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." How many of you remember that? All right. Ooh. How many of you are never going to raise your hand no matter what I say? Remember, you know, Jesus came out and he said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." The very first sermon that Jesus preached when he entered his ministry. Now, a lot of people, when they hear that expression, "the kingdom of heaven is at hand," they think that that is a report of Jesus coming again. But Jesus was not preaching about coming again. He had just started his ministry, okay? You can literally say it this way. When Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, literally that means that the kingdom ruling principles are now within your grasp. Yeah, Jesus came to teach us how heaven operates so that we could pray that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, all right? How many of you know Jesus was not just teaching us a religious prayer? He was trying to get the point to us that we can govern on earth just like heaven is governed, that we can participate in these principles. And he says, the kingdom of heaven operates like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered everything he had to his servants. That word servants can also be translated the word stewards. We know it could be translated stewards because that's what a steward does. A steward takes care of what belongs to another. How many of you know Jesus came to this earth and he delivered to you and I all that is his? How many of you know that we've been delivered his name? We've been given the authority of Jesus in his name. We were given his blood. We were given his eternal life, his redemption, his healing, the local church, the ministry offices. How many of you know we are the stewards of all things that belong to God? Amen. And see, this is a parable, and Jesus here is speaking of himself. He is that man that traveled into a far country, delivered his goods to his stewards, and then went on a far journey, and now we're waiting for him to come back. He's been on a 2,000-year journey, right? And we're waiting for Jesus to come back at any time. And in the meantime, we are his servants or his stewards. Now, I know there's a lot of, you know, debate on the idea, are Christians servants or are we the children of God? Well, we know we're the children of God, but we serve God like servants in form of stewardship. Stewardship. Praise the Lord. So the first thing I want you to notice that all of heaven operates on this master steward principle. All right? Jesus is master. We are stewards. We've got to know this. Praise the Lord. Because heaven is not going to operate in our life until we understand this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heaven operates on the master steward principle. All right. Jesus is the one that delivered his goods to his stewards, and now he's gone away on a long journey. He gave us the word of God. He gave us the local church. But how many of you know he also delivered to each and every one of us personally the specific plan of God for our lives? How many of you believe that God's got a plan for your life? Amen. He does. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for me. He's got a plan for all of us together. But how many of you know that there are secret instructions that he wants to give to you? There are secret directions. There are secret corrections that God wants to speak to us individually so that we can obey those things. Amen? Amen. So he didn't just deliver, you know, this church life to us, he delivered a plan to us as well, all right? Now, this morning, I'm going to give you three things about stewardship that you need to know and understand if you're going to break through to the next level, because stewardship is absolutely, it is a subject that is being lost today in the body of Christ. It is essential for us to understand this if we're going to move in the power of God in our lives, amen? Folks, I'm telling you, he says all of the kingdom of heaven is based on this master stewardship principle. All of Christianity is based on it. This is what Christianity is. We're stewards and we have a master. And as stewards, we want nothing more than to hear the voice of our master and to obey the voice of our master. Amen. Now, we know we got to ask ourselves, are we masters or are we stewards? We are stewards. We are not masters. But the master mentality is trying to rule and reign in the body of Christ today, and we've got to reject it. We've got to reject the master mentality. We got to get back into the steward mentality. Amen. Glory to God. All right, are you ready? Three things that you need to know about stewardship. Number one, ownership and stewardship are completely different things. Ownership and stewardship are completely different things. And if you confuse the difference between ownership and stewardship, you will be deceived. You will be deceived. Let me give you some more here. Now, Jesus is the master, correct? Now, here's the thing about masters. They have ownership. Masters have ownership. Masters possess all right? But here's the thing about stewards. Stewards own nothing. Stewards own nothing. Now, I'm going to ask you again, which one are you? Oh, that is so weak. Come on in here today. Which one are you? Steward. We are not masters. Our master owns everything. But as stewards, we own nothing. And this is essential for God to move, for heaven to move in our midst. Amen. All right. Heaven will not operate until we fully understand this. We have to understand, as stewards, we own nothing. We are tasked in this life to care for all things that belong to God. I know, just stay with me here. Oh, glory to God. We don't try to own his wealth. We don't try to own his stuff. We are a channel where his stuff can pass to us and it can pass through us. My goal is not to own stuff. My goal is to hear the voice of my master and to put his stuff where he wants it. Amen. To be a good steward of all things that belong to him. This is the beginning of having a true dynamic spiritual life with God. If you are going to know him, you're going to go before the Father and you're going to say, you are my master and I am your steward. You own everything. I own nothing. Therefore, I've come here to submit and to humble myself before you. Father, before I want anything else, I want to hear your voice. I just want to put your belongings where you want them to go. I want to take care of my family and to be a good steward. I want to take care of my marriage to be a good steward. I want to take care of the local church to be a good steward. I want to seek you, Father. I want to pray and I want to hear your voice to be a good steward. To be a good steward. We think God's going to reward us just because we spend time in prayer. Time is not the goal. The goal is to hear the master's voice. And it just happens to take time to hear the master's voice. Yeah. And if you haven't heard the master's voice, you're not done. You're not done seeking him. Praise the Lord. We don't own anything. We simply care for what is his. We move his wealth through our hands and we put it where he wants it delivered. Yes. That means, therefore, because I'm a steward and I own nothing, I'm attached to no material possessions. I'm attached to no greed. I'm attached to no money. Money doesn't tell me what to do. I don't pursue, my life isn't led by where to go, how to get more money. You know, I don't listen to, where I'm going to get paid more. My job is to find the voice of my master. Money is not my master. Things are not my master. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. But here's the problem. We have an obsession with ownership in the body of Christ. We have an obsession with ownership when we should have an obsession with stewardship. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I was sitting in one of the meetings this past week with Reverend Greer. The Holy Ghost said this to me. He said, obsession with possessions leads to deception. Let me say that again. Obsession with possessions leads to deception. So you could say it this way, meaning if you pursue ownership over stewardship, you will become demonically deceived. All right? And if it's real easy to do in this life where we start to pursue owning things all the time. Now, does that mean you can't, you know, pursue a successful business? No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean you can't have nice things. It doesn't mean you can't prosper. But it means that you have a heart that pursues the voice of the master over owning all the possessions you possibly can. See, when you have a desire, when you crave the voice of God over possessions, God's gonna start speaking to you. He's gonna start giving you secret directions and instructions for your life, and you're gonna start meeting needs for people. You're gonna start serving in the local church. You're gonna be used miraculously. God's gonna wake you up in the middle of the night to pray for somebody. He's gonna call you to help the poor. He's gonna call you to be a blessing to the local church. You're gonna have a supernatural life with God because you're a steward. Because you're a steward. See, ownership is not stewardship. And I can't get them confused. You and I cannot get that confused. I own nothing in this life. I have nothing. My job is to seek his voice, to listen to him, and simply obey what he tells me to do. Amen. If you pursue ownership over stewardship, you will be deceived. But if you pursue stewardship over ownership, you will then what? Operate in the principles of the kingdom of heaven. Nobody in the kingdom of heaven is thinking about what they own. Nobody under the influence of the power of the Holy Ghost is thinking anything is their own. You know, I wasn't even planning on going here. Hold your place here in Matthew chapter 25 and go to Acts chapter 4. How many of you want to see miracles, signs, and wonders in the days that we live in? How many of you are truly wanting to see our city saved, to see our region changed, to see our nation changed, to bring as many people to heaven with you as possible? Folks, I'm telling you the time is short. And I'm telling you what, it's time to cast off the spiritual funk that's trying to lay upon Christians. Get out from underneath this wet, dark blanket. It's time to get your lamps burning bright. It's time to go back to, you know, pre-COVID faithfulness. It's time to praise God, shout to God. It is time to get hungry for his word. It is time to lay down stuff in our life, make more time to pray and to seek him. Amen. And start going before God and say, here I am, master. I'm a steward before you. I'm not here to have anything more. I'm here to just simply obey your voice. And God, as a good God and a father, he will abundantly supply. He will lead you into things that, yes, will stick to your life. But I don't look at anything in my life as something that's mine. It could just pass right through. Right. It's something I could hand off, something that's not mine. Amen. Anything down to that last $20 bill in your pocket, all the way up to your house if need be. Good. A lot of Christians, they get downright terrified to think about what true stewardship really is. Everyone wants the power of God, but if you want the power of God, you've got to do what the power of God requires. Amen. Look at Acts chapter 4. I wasn't even planning on going over here. Go over there to verse 31. Acts 4:31. Everyone's wondering where the power of God is. Everyone's wondering where the miracles are. Everybody's wondering where this move of God is that's been prophesied for over 100 years that we should be walking in by now. Well, one reason why it's not taking place is because we got too many Christians thinking that they're masters and very few Christians being true stewards. This move of God is going to happen in the hearts and the lives of the stewards. Amen. Of the stewards. You think, Pastor, this is talking about finances. Oh, no, we're going to go well beyond that. Trust me. Look at Acts 4:31. Now, this is the early church. And it says, and when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Now that's church. And it says, when they prayed, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. And it says, and the multitude of them, that means all of them, all right? The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Now look at this next statement. This is the scripture that started playing in my heart just a moment ago. Neither said any of them that any of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. What does that mean? This is the most powerful move of the Spirit that is listed in the Bible. And one of the main things that it lists that was contributing to this move of God is that anything they possessed, they considered it not their own. When the Holy Ghost is moving upon a congregation, when the Holy Spirit is moving amongst God's people, they do not seek ownership. They seek stewardship. And this is the danger of the extreme prosperity message that is in the body of Christ today, is that it has promoted ownership and it has not promoted stewardship. It has made Christians greedy for money and greedy for things, but let's get greedy for God's voice. Let's get greedy for his presence. Let's get greedy to just get the instruction and move it through our lives if need be. Oh man, I wasn't planning on preaching this either. Is that Luke chapter 12? Yeah. You could read over there in Luke chapter 12. Maybe we just will. Maybe we'll go look at that. Praise the Lord. The multitude of them that were true believers, they had one heart, one soul. Anything of them that had any possessions, they did not consider it their own. They had all things common. Look at verse 33. Look at the next four words. And with great power. Heaven moves amongst the stewards. The power of the Holy Spirit moves amongst those whose hearts are submitted to God that say, nothing that I have is my own. I am just simply here to be a steward. That means, Father, I listen to your voice. I move it where it needs to go. I do with it what you instruct me to do. All right, yes, it starts with tithing. Yes, it starts with offerings. But you're going to see there is more to stewardship than just handling finances correctly. Is everybody here today? Woo! Praise the Lord. Pastor, don't you know that times are tough in this nation right now? Don't you know that it just seems like everything is so dark? Just give us an uplifting message. I am. I'm here telling you how heaven is going to move into your house. Well, Pastor, you're just telling us to give stuff away. That is not what anybody said here. We are here to cultivate a heart of stewardship that goes before God, not to try to get something out of him, but to submit and to humble themselves before him so that they hear his voice. Oh, praise the Lord. Some of you, if not a lot of us, we better stir ourselves up. Because you think times are tough right now in this world? You think it's dark now? You haven't seen anything yet. But I'm here to tell you that we can prosper God's way. We can walk in the principles of heaven. We don't have to go down into the depressions of this world. Amen. And we better just go ahead, you know, and do what the Bible says and says, pick up those knees and those elbows, you know, that hang down. You know, shake off that spiritual funk and start running for God again. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon them all. Great power was in their midst because God found a group of stewards. Right? And remember, it says some that had houses and lands. When there was a need that the church had, they sold them. You know, boy, I know, it got quiet in here. I say, Pastor, is there some need with the church? No. No, this is nothing. This is actually not a giving sermon. This is a heart sermon that goes before God and says, nothing within my possession is my own. Father, I'm here to hear your voice. I'm not here to collect stuff. I'm not here to gain stuff. I'm not here to just pile up, you know, stuff on this earth. I'm here to hear your voice. I'm here to hear your voice. And God will lead you to things. He'll lead you to possible jobs. He'll lead you to investments. And I know this is a lot of finances. He'll lead you to people to help. Amen. He'll lead you to opportunities. He'll lead you to be a blessing to his work on this earth. Amen. All right. Now, let's get back to this. Obsession with possession leads to deception. Meaning, if we're just obsessed with owning things, we will be deceived. All right. Ownership is when you take care of something for yourself. Stewardship is when you take care of something for somebody else. Well, sure is quiet here today. Mm-hmm. Now, the church at Laodicea makes a whole lot more sense to us. Go back to those verses. Go to Revelation chapter 3, and let's look at this again. Go to Revelation 3, and we can start right in verse 14. Remember the Laodicean church? Remember how it represents the last church that'll be on the earth before the coming of the Lord? Remember how we're not supposed to be like them? Are we here today? Mm-hmm. Glory to God. I'm trying to help you. Folks, I know this world is in a very interesting season. I know that the body of Christ is in a very interesting season. But I tell you what, this season isn't going to last.
Amen.
There will be a breakout. There will be a move of God for those that prove themselves faithful when times get tough, when the season seems dark. There is a time, there is a breakthrough, but I'm telling you, a lot of Christians are falling away right now. A lot of Christians will not be there, and they will not qualify when the new day dawns. So, folks, I'm trying to get you to a place where your heart will be ready for when this new season breaks. Amen. Praise the Lord. The next move of God is not going to be in the midst of all those money-hungry, greedy believers. It's going to be in the midst of those that are submitted before God as pure stewards. There'll be a time when stewards in this nation that have sought God with all their heart, they will be able to say, and with great power. And with great power. This church will say, and with great power. Amen. But we've got to do what they did. We've got to have a heart before God. Nothing of mine is my own. Nothing is mine. Everything is his. Let's serve him. All right. Ownership is when you take care of something for yourself. Stewardship is when you take care of what belongs to another. Look at Revelation 3:14. This is Jesus writing a letter to the Laodicean church, which most scholars agree represents the last church that will be on the earth, the days of the church before Christ's return. And it says, "And to the angel or the messenger of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Jesus is writing this letter to this church. He says, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot, but I would prefer that you were either cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot," he said, "I will spew thee out of my mouth." Remember a couple weeks ago I taught you on the three spiritual conditions that are in these verses? You can be spiritually cold, which is not what Jesus wants for you. But at least when you're spiritually cold, you know it and you can make changes and you can get back in with God, all right? You can confess that and get on the hot side again. You can be spiritually hot. That means you are spiritually urgent for the things of God. But the most dangerous spiritual condition is that of being lukewarm. Lukewarm means you don't even know what your spiritual condition is. Lukewarm thinks that you're okay and, you know, that you're just coasting on through this Christian relationship. Don't be a coaster. Look at verse 17. Notice in verse 16, Jesus said, "I will reject the lukewarm church. I will reject it." He says, here's the reason why they were lukewarm. It says, "Because you say," or literally you could say it this way, "because the church says, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and you know not that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." How in the world did they get to that spiritual condition? Because they had lost sight of stewardship.
That's right.
And you can see in this verse how they got obsessed with ownership.
Yeah.
Do you see this in the verse?
Yeah.
They said, we've got enough. We've got all this wealth. We've got all the riches. Therefore, I'm fine. Everything is good. It doesn't matter what we do. Do you see how they thought what they owned was their strength? And Jesus says, because you're obsessed with ownership, you've been deceived. And now spiritually, your condition is wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked because you left out stewardship. Oh, my goodness. Don't you want Jesus to come back and look at our church and say, that was a church of stewardship. That was a church of humility. That was a church that humbled themselves. That was a church that, you know, nothing that they had was their own. They just were submitted to the plan of God and with great power. Amen. Glory to God. So, Pastor, what are you trying to get at? Are you trying to get me to go sell anything nice and give away everything nice in my life? No. The goal is that we all have a heart where we take time. Go before God. And literally open your heart before him and say, Father, I own nothing. You own everything. You are the master. I am the steward. I hear your voice and I move what belongs to you wherever direction you have for it. Yes. Now, someone might think, you know, that I'm preaching this message because there's going to be some special offering at the church or something. Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of. This is not about the physical exchange of financial things. This is about an exchange of your heart between you and the Father that comes to that place where you absolutely submit your life to him. Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. Now we see in the end days, ownership amongst the church. Christians will become deceived in the last days because they will be greedy for material goods. You do not have to go far. You do not have to go far to see it in the body of Christ right now. My goodness. I believe in the weeks ahead, if the Holy Spirit will allow me, I will share some things and say some things in order to keep this church safe that might shock and awe some people for me to say. I can't say it right now because right now I'm not anointed to say that. I've got to wait until that anointing is there to do that. All right? See, now the church of the Laodiceans makes sense. Yes, now it makes sense. They had received the doctrine of demons. They thought that their spiritual condition was reflected on how much prosperity they had. Meaning they thought, the more we have, we must be spiritual. They were deceived. They didn't even know what their spiritual condition was, right? And you can see that they got obsessed with possession. Obsessed with having goods. Now, is God against you having goods? No. Again, it's the heart surgery. All right. Here's the second thing you need to know about stewardship. Are you ready? Stewards must crush their own will. Stewards must crush their own will. Number one, ownership and stewardship are completely different. All right. Two, stewards must crush their own will. Go with me to the book of Titus. Titus is right after 1 and 2 Timothy. It's right before Hebrews. Titus was a pastor that Paul the Apostle was writing to. Go to Titus chapter 1. Stewards must crush their own will. Up until now, it seems like this only applies to financial things or material possessions and money. No, you're going to see now, stewardship goes well beyond that. Here we go. Stewards must crush their own will. Titus chapter 1 and verse 7. Let's bring that verse up. Titus 1, 7. It says, for a bishop or a pastor, the word bishop is the same word for pastor, or you could say a minister, for a pastor must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed. Do you see this? In the scripture, it says, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, no fighter, not given to filthy lucre. And of course, we think that this only applies to ministers. However, he's just describing what a steward should be. Sure. And we all are called to be stewards. And notice he says the one aspect of a true steward is that they are not self-willed. They crush their own will to follow the will of God. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 26. Let me show you how to do this. And now here we go. This is how you break through to the next level. When you get revelation, I don't know about you, I am excited about what the Spirit of God was talking to me about this past week. I'm excited about this, you know, getting this direction and getting this correction if need be. I'll tell you what, I've just been spending my time, Father God, I am your steward. Nothing in my possession is my own. Just move it along. Whatever I've got to give, whatever I've got to do, everything that comes to me, I realize it's not necessarily coming to me for me. Things can come to you because someday it might move through you to somebody else. There's a reason why God's doing this in your life. Amen. Go to Matthew 26, and we'll start in verse 36. Let's talk about the ultimate steward, Jesus Christ himself. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is in the night before Jesus's, crucifixion. He knew what was coming. Things were going to get tough for him. He knew it. And let's look at this passage again in the light of stewardship. Here we go. Glory to God. Stewardship does not dwell on oneself. Stewardship does not, dwell on what you can get. Stewardship dwells on the master. Yes. And over the next few weeks, I cannot wait to teach the things. This is really today just an introduction to stewardship, all right? Look at this. Matthew 26, 36. It says, then came Jesus with them, his disciples, unto a place called Gethsemane. And he said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. I never knew Jesus was from Alabama. Praise the Lord. All right. And verse 37, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's John and James, and he began to be sorrowful and emotionally heavy. Then said Jesus to his disciples, he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Wait here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and Jesus fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. The cup is a reference to the cross. Now it says in verse 40, and he came unto the disciples, and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, we know this, that this passage is about Jesus contending with the flesh. How many of you know this is the night before the crucifixion? Jesus is about to take the next big step in the plan of God for his life. Folks, I'm telling you, many of us are ready to take the next big step in the plan of God for our life. But notice what happened. Go back now. Go back over there to verse 39. Jesus, of course, was pressured heavily before he was taking that next step. Here's what we need to know and understand. Before the next big step of God's plan for your life comes, notice your will is going to rise up to meet the plan of God and try to distract you and to convince you to not do what it takes to go on that next big step. Do you see that? Jesus himself had his own will rise up and fight against the plan of God. Why did Jesus pray? Did he pray for an hour so he could tell his Christian buddies that he prayed for an hour? He prayed for an hour because that's what it took to crush his own will. We don't pray to get the time reward. We pray to crush our own will. What did he do? He went back into prayer to get reminded of the master's voice. Good. He knew. He was pressured so heavily, so emotionally. Listen, I'm telling you, I know the body of Christ is facing that same kind of pressure right now. Some are trying to hide it. Some are trying to act like it's not happening. But I'm telling you, it is happening. And here is the breakthrough. Jesus knew he had to take his flesh and his will into prayer and pray till his own will was crushed under God's will. Jesus did not die on the cross the first time at the cross. He went and died to his own will in the garden the night before, and that's what made the cross a possibility. If you want to break through to the next big step, your flesh is going to have to pay the price somewhere. You're going to see, Christians have been taught in the modern day, pray this amount of time, and the time will be the reward. No, it just happens to take time to hear the voice. See, Jesus went to hear the voice of his Father in a time of weakness. He was facing weakness in his flesh. But he got back in there, was reminded of the Father's will, and he became the ultimate steward and allowed his own will to be crushed. He said, I knew my spirit was willing, but I had to go back into that prayer until I was reminded that God was not going to change his mind. God is not going to change his mind about this generation. He is not going to allow us to get a move of the power of God for free. There's going to have to be some stewards somewhere that will pick up their cross and follow Christ. Picking up your cross and following him means that you crucify your flesh. Hey, how about lay down some social media and pick up some prayer? You know, it doesn't mean you can't enjoy some of that here and there, you know, appropriately, of course. It doesn't mean you can't have, you know, appropriate entertainment in your life. But when we just go day after day after day, and we just sit around whittling away hours doing mindless, meaningless stuff, and we don't pull our flesh into that place to go over to hear the Master's voice, we will never be able to say, and with great power. You want to break through to the next level and get that funk off of you? I'm telling you, the only place you're going to do it is in prayer. Amen. The only place you're going to do it is when your will is crushed under his. I tell you, Pastor, you make it sound like it's a bad thing. No, let me tell you what. It is a joy-inspiring, lifting, confident-building thing just to let your will get crushed. Because the good news is you don't have to figure out this life. You don't have to be attached to your income. You don't have to be attached to your possessions. You don't have to live this life letting everything else tell you what to do. Glory to God. Yes. This, what Jesus was going through in the Garden of Gethsemane is very similar to what the body of Christ is going through now. We're sitting there on our knees, emotionally crushed, emotionally pressured, not wanting to take the next step to crucify our flesh. Jesus showed how a true steward does that. He got into prayer and said, Father, not my will. Let my will be crushed. I will do whatever it takes. I'll go where I gotta go. I'll do whatever. I'll give whatever. I just want to hear your voice. And of course, the Father was there to say, listen, you need to do this. The next step for you is that cross. Just like the Father is trying to tell the body of Christ right now, the next step is the crucifixion of our flesh. I'm telling you, the burdens that you are so desperately trying to see lifted, they are never going anywhere until you crucify that flesh.
Good, Pastor. Good word.
Until you get the answer in prayer. Until it's a relationship between you and the Father. Listen, someone can lay hands on you 6 trillion times. It's not going to do a thing if your spirit is not humbled before God in a heart of stewardship. It doesn't matter how often you've been a tither. It doesn't matter what seeds you've sowed. If your heart is pursuing ownership, that's exactly what we'll do. And listen, we've all been guilty of doing it, myself included, where we just want to own the promises of God. We want the blessing. We want the prosperity. We want the healing. We want the joy. We want the peace. but we don't want to have to crucify the flesh. Folks, I'm telling you. And with great power. Because we're not stewards of only material possessions. We are stewards of a prayer life. We are the stewards of the individual direction to our lives. We are stewards of hearing his voice. All right? And that brings me to the third thing and the final thing. All right, number one, stewardship and ownership are completely different. Remember, you're a steward, not a master. Oh, man. And see, when you truly, folks, let me tell you what, this isn't just a matter of having God's power in your life. It's a matter of keeping you safe. You know, when the master mentality gets into a Christian, they are going to be deceived by others who think that they're masters. Let me explain what I'm talking about. When you have a heart that goes before God and you submit and you are crying out with stewardship, you're going to more easily spot those that are in a master's mentality. You'll see it. You'll know it. And you're not there to criticize. You're not there to hurt anybody. But you'll know it and you'll understand it and you'll back away from that. Absolutely. It's kind of like this. You know, how many of you remember that show Doogie Howser MD growing up? Woo! Listen, if my preaching won't get you excited today, maybe Doogie Howser will. Remember, he was 16 years old and he became a surgeon and all that. You remember that show growing up? Maybe some of you know. Okay, whatever. Well, it was a show about this kid. And I mean, how many of you know if you were a true surgeon watching Doogie Howser, you could probably sit there and you point all the ways that you know that it's fake. Why? Because when you're the real thing, you can spot the fake thing. And when you're a true steward, not that stewards go out and try to point out everybody who's fake, you understand, but it'll keep you safe. You'll know. Some of you, you've had that experience. You know why you've turned on Christian TV and you hear someone preaching and what they're saying might not even be wrong, but you know there's something wrong in that ministry. You know there's something wrong with it. What is going on is because you're sensing a master's mentality. They think they have ownership. They don't. They think what they possess is their own. And they're now trying to drive Christians into that same mentality of just possessing, possessing, and possessing stuff. And it's deception. And there's demons behind it. And I'm here to tell you, that's the truth. And I'm sticking to it. Praise the Lord. I'm not here to go after anybody. I'm not here to, you know, make it personal. But I'm here to keep you safe. And one of the things that keeps you safe is you having a heart of stewardship.
Amen.
Listen. When you see ministries using gimmicks, when you see them using gimmicks just to get you to send in your money and all this stuff, you know they're not safe for you. See, it's like this. How many of you have a tachometer in your car? You know what a tachometer is? Anyone know? We know the car guys know it. Do you know what a tachometer? That's what tells you the RPMs. You know, there's your speedometer and then your tachometer. Anyone have a tachometer? And as the engine revs up, it goes, ooh, and then that transmission shifts, and you go, ooh. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know at the top of your tachometer, there will be like a yellow line and then a red line? The red line is, you know, there. What is it there for? It tells you that if you keep revving the engine at that place or more, damage can happen. It's not safe for your engine to be there. See, as a pastor, I'm not a speedometer. You know, I'm not, you know, speedometers are more fun. You know, it's cool to see. Remember when you were a kid and you look inside a car and you thought that whatever the speedometer was at the top, that's how fast the car could go? Like, wow, this car can go 120 miles an hour. No, it's a Ford Escort. It cannot do 120 miles an hour. You know, remember that? Because speedometers are cool and they're fun and we like to, you know, speed and fast and all that. But the tachometer is there to keep you safe. Yes. Pastors are not speedometers. We're tachometers. Yes. And when I see things in, you know, the body of Christ, that if you keep at that level, if you pursue that for too long, damage is going to occur.
Right.
Damage is going to occur. And one of the main issues we have going on today is that we have a move of God's people, but it's not being oversighted by pastors.
Yeah.
It's being led by people that never sit down and counsel people face to face. They never sit down with God's people and go through, you know, life with, you know, the couple that's having marital problems. They never sit down and go through, life. People are having issues with their kids. They're having issues with their business, or, you know, they're facing, you know, pain or sickness in their bodies. These people, they go on and they lead the body of Christ without ever sitting down in front of any of them. They claim to be surgeons, but they have never operated on anybody. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. And why am I teaching you this? Because stewardship, this humility before God, this is what God is trying to get the body of Christ to understand. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He's going to move with great power in the lives of true stewards. Glory to the Lord. Here's the third and final thing. Are you ready? Stewards are responsible for the secret things. Stewards are responsible for the secret things. Go to 1 Corinthians 4 and we'll end here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Glory to God. Ownership and stewardship are not the same thing. True stewards will crush their will in prayer. Oh, I'm excited about it. Oh, people won't understand. I went down there and got excited about crushing my own will. It is exciting because it opens the door for God to bring great power. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now I understood what Reverend Greer was saying. For all these years, he has said that the move of God will be stewarded in the last days. And that wasn't even what he was preaching on when I was down there. And it just all of a sudden, the Spirit of God started talking to me about this, about the importance of stewardship. Yeah, praise the Lord. Jesus went and he was reminded of the voice of his master. If he was going to break through to that next level, he had to go to Gethsemane. There's just an issue. So many of God's people, they don't want to have a Gethsemane moment. You've got to go to that garden. You've got to go to the place where your will dies. You've got to go to that place where your will is crushed, that you have that time with God and that you are reminded of what he wants you to do. Because if you don't, and this is what we're going to say here in just a moment, but if you don't steward those directions and instructions for you personally, then that means that you don't respect what God is trying to do in your life. Or what God's trying to do overall. Stewards are responsible for the secret things. 1 Corinthians 4:1, let's bring that up. Oh boy. Stewardship and ownership are different. True stewards will crush their own will. Number three, stewards are responsible for the secret things. 1 Corinthians 4:1, it says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. And stewards of the what? Mysteries of God. Verse 2, he says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. How many of you know that's true? That's a key principle in stewardship. We will go back to this, no doubt, as the weeks go on. But go back up to verse 1. Notice he said, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, maybe you're not called to preach in the pulpit. Maybe you aren't called to lead a church, you know, but as stewards, all stewards will be responsible for certain mysteries. What does the word mysteries mean? It means the secret truths and the hidden things pertaining to your life. Amen. Yeah. Secret things, hidden truth for your life. How many of you know you've got to seek God to get his truth and direction for your life? Amen. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Stewards have to be faithful with the secrets that God wants to tell you. How many of you believe God has secrets to tell you and your family individually? How many of you believe that he has secrets for this church and this church family, right? But if we don't seek him and get those things, then we're disrespecting what God's trying to do. Right. Amen. You and I are stewards of the mysteries that God is trying to speak to us individually and also corporately as a church. Now, as a pastor, I'm required to be a steward of the mysteries of the gospel here at Family Church, meaning there's directions and instructions to this church specifically, all right, just like it would be with any church. But there's also directions for your life personally. And I'm telling you, like we say all the time, we quote Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you. Everyone say plans. He says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. How many of you know we've got to seek that plan? How about Ephesians 2:10? It says, and for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do those good things which he has preordained for us to walk in. God has prearranged a plan with instructions and directions. We're stewards of that. But you'll never, never, never get to know those things until you submit yourself, confess that he's master, he owns it all. You are a steward, you own nothing, and you seek and you start desiring that voice even more than a raise at work, even more than your next house, even more than your next blessing or thing that you enjoy in this life. Get hungry for the voice of God. Get ready to be a steward of what he wants you to do. Amen. Glory to God. Stewards are responsible for the secret things. That should excite you. Oh, goodness, I'm going to get into the presence of God, and I'm going to start getting those secrets. Oh, my goodness. I started asking the Lord for some help with just some things personally, just, you know, even possessions and things that I have. You know, I started asking the Lord, hey, Lord, I need help with this, and I need help with this. Show me what to do. And you know what? He showed me what to do, and it was exactly the last thing I wanted to do. I'm like, well, I didn't mean that. Lord, help me with this. Okay, give it away. I asked God for help. And I said, Lord, help me with this. He said, give it away. And it literally, naturally speaking, cost me thousands of dollars. Thousands of dollars. But guess what? I've been helped. I got to believe that. Because that's what he said. You know, I got to believe it. You know, but that's exactly right. Because, no, my mind went on tilt because of the financial ramifications. But as soon as I obeyed with that, all that burden just lifted. All that peace came flooding right in. And you know what? It didn't matter. Because you know why? I don't own it. I'm just a steward of it. Now would be a real good time to start chumming up next to me because you don't know what I could end up giving you. Try to be my friend right now. But no, seriously, I don't care. Lord, if I got to give away my house, if that's the voice of God, now I'm hoping that he doesn't say that. But I'm just saying, I want to have that heart. If that's what it took, I'll do it. Nothing that I possess is my own. You know, sometimes we don't like to hear what really helps us. But see, that's what stewardship is. No attachment, no ownership, just desiring to hear the voice of the master. That's what we're hungry for. Amen? So number one, stewardship and ownership, completely different. We're not masters. We're stewards. He owns it all. We own nothing. As a steward, we listen for the master's voice. That's why we pray. We're not praying to get the golden star. You know what I mean? You know, I grew up in the days and time. I remember the reading program. Actually, it was still there when I was a school teacher. They called it Book It. Does anyone remember Book It? Woo, Book It. And you'd read these books at home, which I never did. But then you get the stickers, and you'd have the board up there. And there was always that kid that was way out ahead of everybody else. And you're looking over at that kid, you're like, you liar. You're not reading all those books at home. And then you would finally get to the benchmark there. You'd meet the criteria. And back then, when we actually had Pizza Huts in Jamestown, you'd win yourself a personal pan pizza. And I swear, the ones that you won were smaller than the ones that they actually sold. It's true. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, why were we on all that? Well, glory to God. Number one, stewardship. Wait, why? Gold star, yeah. We're not praying to get the gold star. We're not praying to get the personal pan pizza. You know what I mean? I mean, you talk to Christians, my goodness, they think that God is up there with a stopwatch timing your prayer and he's giving out participation trophies. Yeah, right, right. On earth, they give out participation trophies. You don't even have to win anymore. When I was a kid, you lost. And you went out there and you shook the hands of the kids that beat you?
Yes, you did. Right.
You know, they still spit on their hands and shook your hand. You watched them get the trophy.
That's it.
You watched them get rewarded. And it made you say on the next time, you know what? Yeah. I'm going to do better.
Yeah.
I'll play harder.
Right.
I'll get better. But when you just give away something and they haven't accomplished anything, you don't learn any lesson from that. I mean, even if there's 13 seconds on this clock left in life, I mean, I'm telling you, time isn't always on your side. Oh, you Bills fans know what I'm talking about. My boys started jumping up and down. I didn't. I looked over at them. I said, boys, you are a Buffalo Bills fan. It is never over until it's over. And sure enough, it was not over. You don't get rewarded for the time. You get rewarded for hearing the voice of the master. Voice of the master. Say, well, pastor, I prayed for a half an hour. Well, great. Did you hear God's voice? Well, maybe you won't hear God's voice every time you pray, but just keep at it. Keep at it. Keep going back. Keep going back. And start telling God, Father, I desire to hear your voice more than the promotion, more than the paycheck, more than the better house, more than the better car, more than the things I want. Father, I want your voice.
Yes.
That's what a steward says.
Amen.
And next week, we're going to look at some of the parables. You never thought that the parable of the 10 virgins was about, you know, stewardship. It was about stewardship. And we're going to get into that. Oh, I've got so much prepared. I just wish I could preach it all right now. But I can't. That's what we have next week for it. Did you get some help here today? Praise the Lord. Stewardship and ownership. Which one are you going to be? All right? You're not a master. You're a steward. All right? Second, stewards crush their own will. That's why we pray. Right? Amen. And third, we are stewards of the mysteries. If we go without what God's trying to say to us personally, that's ultimately, we've got to be led by the Spirit. We've got to hear his voice. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just love you and praise you. You are faithful and good. And Lord, we submit to you as a church. Father God, Lord Jesus, you are the master. You own everything. Lord, you said in your word that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything in it. Father, we are stewards. We own nothing. And Father, it's a joy that you delivered your goods to us. Because we get to walk in your authority, your peace, and your joy. We get to have the local church. We get to have the Word of God. We get to have ministry offices, pastors, and so on that feed us the Word. Father, we thank you. We don't have the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Lord, we understand that the body of Christ is like Jesus in the garden right now. A lot of emotional pressure, but not wanting to do what it takes. But Lord Jesus, you crushed your own will in that place, and you did it for us. And now, Lord, we understand that we're on the brink of something great, but it will require the crucifixion of our flesh. Father, we're not saying that nobody around here is crucifying their flesh. But we just know that we all got to step up to another level.
Yeah.
We got to break through. Break through that veil of the flesh. And Father, we just praise you. We're going to do it. And Lord, it will be said of this church, and with great power. Father, we just give you the praise. Father, I pray for every single Christian that is in this place today, that Lord, that they would develop that heart, develop that joy of being a steward, submit themselves before you. Ownership loves possession, but stewardship loves submission. Father, we love to be submitted. We love to hear your voice. Father, your voice is better than any promotion at work. It is better than any paycheck. It is better than anything material that we could ever receive in this life. We've got to believe that. And Father, we just love you and praise you. With all heads bowed, all eyes closed, before we're dismissed, ask yourself this question in your heart. Have I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? Have I done what Romans 10:9 says to do? It says that if you'll speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'll speak with your mouth, if you'll believe with your heart that Jesus died for you and rose again for you, you will receive eternal life. If you're here today and you've never done that, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to point you out in any way. But if that's you, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. And when I see your hand, I'll just have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here today that would say, Pastor, I don't know if I were to die today, if I would be in hell or if I would be in heaven with the Lord. And today I want to get sure. If that's you, could you lift your hand now? Is there anybody here within the sound of my voice? I know we have a family group and we have a lot of believers. I see that hand. You can put it down. God loves you. Let's all pray this prayer. And with it, let's just dedicate our lives to the Lord here today. Everyone pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. And I believe with my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. I will live for you. I will obey you. I will listen to your voice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? Let's stand to our feet. Folks, if you came here today and you felt like, wow, there's a lot of conviction on this. You know, there's an assignment. There's a responsibility. Folks, that is not to hurt you. That's to help us, right? You know, I was down with my pastor in those meetings, Pastor Michael, and we came out of Thursday morning's meetings, and we went to a restaurant, and I met him there, and there was others that were joining us, and I walked in, and he's like, man, I love that message today. He said, man, I was convicted. And I thought, Pastor Michael, you wouldn't get convicted of anything, you know? But I mean, he would just say, he's like, I like to be challenged. I want to be convicted. This is what I'm looking for. Folks, as Christians, we should love correction. Amen. So let's go ahead and rejoice and we'll be dismissed. Father, we just glorify you. We magnify you. Father, we thank you. Your blessing is upon everyone that's here today. Father, we just give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.